I'll tell you, from all the things that I've seen on Facebook this past week, our kids, well, not all of them were kids, but everybody that went to the NAYC are probably going to come back excited and thrilled, and I'll already feel that excitement this morning here before we even get started. Amen. It's good to know that God is moving in such a magnificent way that he does, and our kids are going to carry on this truth. That is exciting for me. If the Lord were to tarry, I know this gospel will continue to be preached, and there's nothing like the apostolic doctrine. There is nothing like knowing the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. What's in a name? What's in a name? I believe it was Shakespeare that said, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So you could call a rose a thorn, I guess, instead of a rose, but still going to be just as sweet as it was. But we all have our names, and that's to identify who we are. If we didn't have names, I'd say, hey, you. There's a lot of hey yous in here, but we have names to identify who we are. Amen. George Washington. Everybody knows George Washington. Martin Luther King Jr. How about Jesse James? There's a name. What do you think about Jesse James? Train robber, outlaw, culprit. How about Rockefeller? Money. Yeah. Trump. Money. President. A lot of things. But names, some are famous and some are infamous, but names simply identify who we are. You come to me and call me George Jones, and I won't answer. That's not my name. My name is Virgil Cron. And so we have that name. And most people's names really don't become all that famous until they're gone. I don't know how many knew George Washington before he became a general. Probably just the men he served with. And then after he became president, how many really knew who George Washington was? We look back now and know George Washington for what he was. We know Jesse James for what he was. And we know these. How about Kelly McGuire? What's the first thing you think of? Pastor, preacher, teacher, instructor, compassion, all kinds of things. But he won't be as famous until after he's gone. And then others will look back and say many good things about him. Some of you today may not like the name your parents gave you. And if you changed your name or if you had a different name, you'd still be who you are right now. If my name was George Benton, I have an uncle named that, George Benton, I'd still be me. My name doesn't affect me today. Now, there was a time when names identified people for what they were. I was born in Colorado, raised in the backwoods of Missouri and the fields of Indiana. My name don't tell you that. You would know that until you got to know me personally. Amen. The first time that I was identified as Virgil Cron, I was a child. I was a baby. And people looked at me and said, oh, that's Virgil. My dad's name was Everett Leroy. Most people knew him as James because he had to change his name because his brother took his real name and did some nasty things. And so my dad had to change his name. But let's look at some names in the scripture. What's in a name? When God told Abraham that he and Sarah was going to have a baby, what did Abraham do? He fell on his face laughing. He fell on his face laughing and said in his heart, can me and my wife, I'm 100, she's 90, we're going to have a baby? And a little bit later, the Lord came back and said, Abraham, you are going to have a baby with Sarah. And then this time Sarah was in the tent, she laughed. I said, all right, I'll tell you what, you name him Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. See, sometimes your name means what it's supposed to mean. And every time Abraham ever called Isaac, I think he had to think of that day that he fell down and laughed when God told him the promise was coming. Every time Sarah called Isaac, she probably remembered the time that she was in that tent and she heard the news from God. When Esau and Jacob were about to be born, Esau was being delivered from the womb, and Jacob reached out and grabbed a hold of Esau's heel. And so Esau was red and hairy. He named him Esau, which means hairy. They named Jacob Jacob because his name meant heel grabber or supplanter, one who takes the place of another. We find that Jacob wanted the blessing that was rightfully Esau's through his entire life. Now, I believe they both heard their daddy talking about the promise to their grandfather. But Esau didn't care about that. Esau didn't care about that. Jacob did. And we know the story. Esau went hunting one day, and Jacob said, I'm going to get out there in the pathway, and I'm going to build a fire, and I'm going to make a stew. And when he comes in, I know what I'm going to do, because I know he comes home hungry. Esau comes in and said, I want some of that food. And he said, Jacob said, sell me the birthright. I want that birthright. I wasn't born first, but I want the birthright of being born first. And if you've never been that hungry, I can testify I was. There was a time I was hunting in the mountains of Colorado and hiked about 500 feet up the side of the mountain, back about 2 miles, and got a deer. Me and Joe Traylor and another one. Now, Joe will tell you the story a little bit different. It's a whole lot funnier. But we dragged it down to the bottom, and by then I was just staggering. I took my gun off, and Joe took that, and they said, stay there with the deer, and I'll go get a tote goat and come get the deer. And about 100 yards down the pathway, I was staggering. I was smelling hamburgers frying. I was smelling French fries. I was smelling milkshakes. Now, we're talking about in the mountains where there wasn't anybody around. There wasn't no restaurants cooking anything. I was so hungry, I could not walk any farther. I sat down. I said, bring the tote goat to me. So Esau was like that. And I'll do anything to get that food. So he said, not going to do me any good to have the birthright. If I'm going to die, it's yours. And then we know that Jacob deceived his daddy into receiving the blessing of the firstborn. Jacob went on down, run for his life away from his brother, went down to see his uncle, and he stopped at a place he called Bethel. He put his head on a rock and went to sleep and had a dream and saw a ladder stretching from the earth to heavens and the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. He said, this was surely the house of God, and I didn't even know it. And instead of stopping right then and making that commitment to God, he went on down to Laban's. We know the story. He worked there about 20 years for his father-in-law, and God blessed him with wives and children and riches and all that. But there came a time when he was going to have to go back and face Esau and mom and dad. And on the way, he said, I got to get a hold of God. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and get a hold of God. Sometimes we need to just say, Lord, here I am. Now do something. And Jacob, the Bible said, wrestled with the man all night long, the angel of the Lord. And then next morning, the angel said, let me go. It's getting daylight. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I've got the blessing that I desired from my father. Now I want a blessing from God. And the angel said, what's your name? And he told him, Jacob. Touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it withered up, and he had to hobble on his leg from then on. But he said, okay, your name's Jacob? Not anymore. From now on, it's going to be Israel. And he was never called Jacob again until the next verse. See, his name wasn't changed, but the meaning was changed. Now you have power with God and with man. We read about Rahab. And what you always read about Rahab? Rahab the harlot. Now, how would you like to get stuck with a name like that? And here she was. But every time you read about Rahab, you read about what happened. She hid the spies for Israel when they came in to take Jericho. And she was blessed of God. Do you know the last place you find the name Rahab the harlot? In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, one of the heroes of faith. You read the 11th chapter of Hebrews about faith, and her name is mentioned. So what's in a name? Well, I want to talk about the power of a name. I want to talk about the name that's above every name. I want to talk about a name that has power, that has authority, a name that brings deliverance, a name that brings healing, a name that brings peace, a name that brings joy, a name that brings salvation. Amen. I want to talk about that name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We sing songs about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We need to understand some things about the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to go to the fourth chapter of Acts, but before I go there, I want to set a little stage. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says when they're all together, one mind, one accord, the Holy Ghost was poured out, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And you remember the story, and Peter stood up and preached a great sermon, and there were many that were convicted, and they said, "What must we do?" And then Peter told them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And that day, 3,000 souls was added to the church. In chapter 3, Peter and John are on their way up to the temple to pray, and on the way, they see a lame man. They look on him, and Peter said, "Fasten your eyes and look at me." And he looked up, and Peter said, "I don't have anything. I'm going to go on into the temple and pray." No, he said, "I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, but what I do have I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible said that he was healed. The lame man was healed, and everybody heard about it. Amen. Including the religious leaders of the day. And the disciples were arrested. They did this. They healed this man, and now we're going to put him in jail until the next day. And then we're going to start with Acts, the fourth chapter, in verse number 5. "And it came to pass on the morrow that there are rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." There are several points I want to bring out today about the name. It's important to know who our God is. It's important to know who we pray to, what he is. Amen. Amen. We understand that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into and is saved. But let's read Deuteronomy 5 and 11. God's given Moses the Ten Commandments. Verse 11, he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The definition of vain is simply empty or foolish. I'm sure we've all heard somebody use the name of the Lord as a cuss, right? If you've ever worked outside your home, I'm sure you've heard that name being used as a curse word. But I believe this commandment goes beyond cursing. Amen. I believe it also means that we need to use his name, or we can't use his name, in a casual manner. Now, let me tell you what I mean. Our life, the way we live, the way we talk, the things that we do, the things that we say, should bring honor to the name of Jesus. Our life should be an honor unto him. Let's substitute the word "bear" for the word "take" in that verse. Thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Take or bear. Don't bear the name of the Lord in vain. Bear or to carry it, claiming to bear the name without living the promise of the name, I believe is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't get mad at me. But I believe that there are many that claim to be Christians, don't live the life that bears the proof of the Christ in their lives, are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Amen. I believe being a hypocrite is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Saying that I am Christ, I follow Christ, talking about it and not walking. Paul said if we're going to live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, let's live in the Spirit. Amen. We must not take the Lord, name of the Lord our God in vain, but we need to bear it. We need to carry it with us. Praise God. We must. Jesus told Paul in Acts, the 9th chapter, that he was to bear the name before his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. We must bear this precious name with righteousness and honor and integrity and in faith and in love. Amen. Living our life in such a way that brings honor to his name. Living our life, bringing honor to the name of Jesus. Being children of God, we bear his name. I took on his name in baptism. Amen. We believe salvation is all about the name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Some ridicule us and call us Jesus only. That's all right. I'm proud of the family name. I'm proud of the fact that I know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. But there's a responsibility that comes with the name. I can't claim to be his and not live a life dedicated to him. Otherwise, I'm carrying that name in vain. Second point I want to show is that the name of Jesus, excuse me, carries with it authority. There is authority in the name of Jesus. There is authority in the name of Jesus. The religious leaders were so upset in our reading today, they wanted to know where they got that authority to heal the lame man. When I speak the name of Jesus, I speak the name and authority of heaven behind it. Amen. In the 5th verse of Acts chapter 4, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were at the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. The whole district board was there, everybody. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? The lame man was healed. And the religious community got upset at the disciples. I mean, they couldn't have done it. The religious leaders couldn't have done it. They couldn't have prayed over the lame man and he got up. He'd been sitting there for years. He couldn't go inside the temple because he was crippled. He was lame. Wasn't allowed to go in the temple. And all the time, the Jewish rabbis and all the leaders, they couldn't do this. But the lame man was healed. They couldn't do what had been to, and wanted to know, how did you do that? What power? What name? What gave you the authority to do this? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if someone come in here today in a wheelchair, prayed over him, he's healed and runs out of here excited about the power of God, and somebody come on and say, who do you think you are healing that guy? Could you imagine? This is what happened. Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Get up in the morning, get up in the name of Jesus. You sit down to eat a meal, pray in the name of Jesus. Everything you do in word or in deed, the authority of our word or deed done is in the name. Amen. It's the authority of the name that gives us the power, that gives us the strength. Jesus said in Mark 9, if you were to give me a drink of cold water in the name of Jesus, your reward is going to stay with you. You're going to get your reward. Just giving me a simple drink of water, you're going to receive a reward. Amen. Everything we do for the church, all the work that has been done around here, and for each other, the things we do for each other in the name of the Lord, we're laying up rewards. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Praise God. When we do anything or pray or speak in the name of Jesus, we are saying in the name or the authority of the name. Anybody ever had to run from the law? Don't raise your hands. Remember, years ago, the old TV shows, stop in the name of the law. And, of course, they stopped, didn't they? People don't stop today. They just keep going. No reason. Stop in the name of the law. In other words, the law has authority to stop you. When we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying in the authority of the name, praise God. When we pray, be healed in the name of Jesus, the authority of healing is in his name. Not in our hands, not in our words, but in the power of the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, praise God. The name of Jesus contains all the authority of God's word because he was God, manifest in the flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word, or God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. In before Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, he told them in the 18th verse of Matthew 28, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power and authority. Brother McGuire, if you gave me all your money, how much would you have left? If he gave me all his money, he don't have any. He can't go buy a McDonald's. He can't go buy a drink. Jesus said, all power in heaven. Somebody say all. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power or all authority. All. He went on to give the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so many stop right there. But let's read verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus gave them the authority in verse 20 to teach what he had taught or commanded them. He had taught them. They understood who he was. And when we read the epistles, we're reading the power and the authority and the command that God gave the disciples to teach. When I read Colossians, when I read Galatians, I'm reading the authority of God because God gave them the authority to teach us. God gave them the authority and the power. You write down the things that I have commanded you. What they write down, what they wrote down are the things that God had given them for us. Praise God. And then after his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's what's going to happen after the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Acts, the first or the second chapter, I think I'm going to read. I didn't give this to you, Jess, I'm sorry, but Acts, I just want to read the whole first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As we heard from the conference this week, this is that. This is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. And now the power has come upon the disciples. Acts 2 and 4, they've got the power. The Holy Ghost has upon them now. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Then Peter stood up and he began to preach to a crowd that had gathered around there. He preached quite a message. And after he got through preaching, they asked him, what should we do? And then, as I said a little bit ago, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. Jesus said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What are you doing, Peter? You making a mistake there? No, he didn't make a mistake. Jesus told him to baptize in the name. What is the name? Amen. Peter didn't make a mistake. Peter obeyed the great commission of Matthew 28:19 by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name was Jesus. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There's so many scriptures that I want to go to, and I know I don't have nearly enough time. But we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ because that's where the authority is to have our sins remitted. If it wasn't for the name, our sins would still be upon us. But when you're baptized in, listen, you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you didn't do what Jesus said. Jesus said that you got to have that name. And when Peter mentioned in Acts 2:38, then that's what we do. I got baptized when I was 8 years old, and I'll never forget it as long as I live, I'm sure. I remember I come up out of that water, I was shaking, and it wasn't from the cold. It was December the 5th, but I just felt such a power of God on me. My skin was just shaking under the power. Listen, if it had been under the titles, I'd have been just as, I would just went down dry and come up wet, that's all. But because the name of Jesus Christ was called over me in baptism, my sins were remitted. My sin, only He has the authority to remit sins. Amen. Only He has the authority to remit sins, and they are remitted when we're baptized in Jesus' name. We baptize in the name of Jesus Christ because that's where the authority is. But still ask, what's in the name? Is that name all that really important? It was important to Philip. He looked at Jesus one day and said, Father, or Jesus, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Just show us who the Father is. And this is what Jesus said in John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Amen. Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name, John 5. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. So don't ask me who the Father is. You're looking at him. He is the image of the invisible God. Isaiah prophesied concerning the birth of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called. I had some dental work done, and I've developed a whistle. Sorry about that. Wonderful is not a name. Counselor is not a name. Mighty God is not a name. Everlasting Father is not a name. Prince of Peace is not a name. Those are just simply offices that God holds. So when you call on the name, you're calling upon the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When you call upon Jesus, you're calling upon all the offices that He's ever held. Amen. Amen. When Israel called on the name of God, excuse me. When Israel would call upon the name of God, they would call upon a name of God that represented what they needed right then. Elohim, the Creator. El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, God of peace, God of supply. But now when we call on the name of Jesus, that name encompasses all that God is. Savior, healer, supplier, peace, joy, all of the things that God is in the name of Jesus Christ. And so important that its salvation is in the name of Jesus. Zechariah prophesied in chapter 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. Amen. He's just got one name, and it's all important for us. That's all that's necessary. Jesus is His name. When I call on Jesus, I'm calling Father. When I call on Jesus, I'm calling Son. When I call on Jesus, I'm calling Holy Ghost. When I'm calling Jesus, I'm calling healing. When I call Jesus, I'm calling salvation. Whatever it is that I have need of, I call upon Jesus and it's covered. Amen. The name really is so important. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. She's back in class. I'm a brother. I'm an uncle. I'm a nephew. These are just offices that hold, that I hold, but not my name. If I write a check, brother, if I write you a check for $100 and I sign it, grandfather, could you cash it? How about brother? No. What could cause that check to be worthy to be cashed? The authority of the name. The authority of the name gives you the right to cash the check. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our sins are remitted through the power of the name. When the name is applied over us, the check is cashed. The check is good because it has the authority of the name. Peter was in complete obedience to Matthew 28:19 when he preached Acts 2:38. Jesus had taught the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we won't read all those scriptures, of course, but he taught the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 7, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, not as the religious elite. There was power and authority in the words that he spoke. And when he spoke, they were hearing the word straight from God. Amen. Amen. The scribes only repeated words they had heard, the words that they learned without carrying the authority to carry that. Amen. Without the authority to carry the things of God and the word of God. They couldn't teach with authority because they didn't know the name of the one that would give them the authority. They refused him. They rejected him. And today when we preach healing, deliverance, or salvation in the name of Jesus, there is the authority of heaven behind our prayers when we call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. The next point I want to make is that through the name there is ability. When we call on the authority of the name, we are granted the ability to receive what we ask for, okay? John 14:13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. We have the authority through the name, or the ability rather, to receive what we have prayed for. By faith in the name of Jesus Christ brings results. Let's go back to verse 8 of chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. When Peter took the lame man by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, the lame man received the ability to receive what Peter had spoken over him, what Peter had proclaimed over him. The ability to be healed was apparent. He was to get up in his feet. He was walking. He was leaping. He was dancing. He was worshiping God. The ability was evident because that it happened. Why does it surprise us sometimes when God does what we ask him? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Come on, sometimes we get surprised. We prayed for it, but man, it happened. Wow. Well, we have the ability to receive what we pray for through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. The ability to be healed was apparent to the man. He was healed. He got to go into the temple. First time he'd ever been in there because he was no longer lame. He'd never been able to go into the temple before that time. Jesus said in John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave power to become sons of man, sons of God. Amen. And to those that believed on his name. When you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of that name, you can ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done. We should never be surprised at the results. Then, finally, there's acceptance. We must accept the truth of the power of his name. Now, come on. The Jewish people didn't accept him, and see what happened. The Jewish people rejected him. He came unto his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not. Let's go back to Acts, the 4th chapter, again, verse number 11. Peter went on in this verse, said, this is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. They rejected the promised Messiah. He came to them, and they didn't know who he was. John said that they rejected the head of the cornerstone, the head cornerstone of the building that God was trying to build. Amen. They rejected that. And Apostle Paul, speaking of the church in Ephesians 2:19, says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Why? "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through faith." God lives in us. Can we understand? That's Jesus in us. When we receive the Holy Ghost, that's God in us. That's Jesus Christ in us. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And everything that's built upon him, everything is made by him and for him and through him. Nothing is built without him. I got to hurry on to verse 12. I want this one especially. "Neither is there salvation," Acts 4:12, "in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name Muhammad will not do it. The name Buddha will not do it. The name McGuire won't do it. The name Cron won't do it. His name is above every name. Amen. And it's that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I must be saved. And I can't be saved outside of Jesus Christ. I can't be saved outside of taking on the name of Jesus on my life. Amen. I'm talking about the power of a name. I'm talking about the power of the name. We read the story in Matthew 1:22. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, "God with us." Praise God. Praise God. His name is called many things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. But now we call him Jesus. Even Jesus, the disciples said, "Teach us how to pray." Jesus said, "We'll start out like this. First thing, hallow the name of the Lord. Make it holy. Start out your prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Start out with honoring the name of God. And then whatsoever you do, well, I've got to rush on to the closing. Verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." You know, sometimes people look at us and think we're so stupid. We're ignorant. We've been called that. But they called the disciples unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Couldn't believe all this was happening. And they took knowledge of them. They'd been with Jesus. Call me ignorant if you want to. Call me stupid. But just call me that I've been with Jesus. What a testimony. We don't know much about them. We just know that they're unlearned. We know they're ignorant. But this we do know. They've been with Jesus. That's what the religious leaders were saying. I may not know a lot about physics. I may not know a lot about astronomy or medicine or science. But I know I've been with Jesus. And if nothing good could ever be said about me, if nothing good could ever come from your lips about me, if you could say he's been with Jesus, that's all I need. That I don't need anything beyond that. Finally, verse 14, "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Speak against what you don't know, that's one thing. Amen. But when you speak against the very evidence of what you don't know, when you speak against the proof of what you don't know. Amen. Nothing can be spoken against it because the proof was there. They can't say anything about these disciples because the proof was there. The man was walking. He was leaping. He was worshiping God. He got to go into the temple. The proof of what happened was there. They're unlearned, so let's don't pay any attention to them. But they couldn't deny what happened. They couldn't deny what happened. Finally, the last verse. You can understand. Amen. Looking around today, I see the results of what's been accomplished through the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. Through faith in his name, I see men and women that's escaped the power of sin, the power of sin and shame, and I see people have been healed all through the name of Jesus. I want to end with Zechariah 14:9 again. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." What's his name? Jesus. Thank God for truth. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your